We're back again, and we're finishing up what I was talking about earlier, and this is going to do a little recap. We were talking about the reasons for going to the refuge. We call on Jesus to have our guardian angel lead us to a refuge. And those signs are the world famine, the division in the church, mandatory chips in the body, and martial law. So I'm going to talk just to finish up on this mandatory chip in the body. Now, the idea of putting chips in our body, I mentioned before, our Lord told us, even at the pain of death, not to take a chip in the body. And I'm just going to read you an article from the internet speaking about mind control techniques and how they can abuse these kinds of chips in our body. Mind control techniques can be used for political purposes. The goal of mind controllers today is to induce the targeted persons or groups to act against his or her own interests and convictions. Zombified individuals could even be programmed to murder and remember nothing of their crime afterward. Alarming examples of this phenomenon can be found in the U.S., and they actually put, they call them Rambo chips, they were putting them in the service people, and they're, even today they're putting them in service people. So I'm going to continue on after I talked about the chips now. I'm going to talk about the martial law. Now, what is martial law? Martial law, I might have mentioned earlier, it's when the government declares an emergency. And what our Lord is telling me, and that's why I'm going to read some of these messages, literally, if someone were looking for taking over the United States, as the one world people are in their new world order, they can actually premeditate some kind of an event that would induce or make it appear as there was a need for an emergency. And it's only under these emergency conditions, usually, that trigger the opportunity for a martial law declaration. And by once a martial law, in other words, if there's something dramatic, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people got killed in one major event or something, then the president could declare or invoke martial law, and there are a whole bunch of executive orders that would be implemented once martial law is put in place. And one of those, all of these have to do with the taking away of all of our rights, all of our, under the Bill of Rights, all of your seizures, all your trial by jury, all of that kind of thing would all be superseded once martial law is in place. So that's why martial law is going to be very difficult, and our Lord said, well, that'll be a major sign to go to the refuge, because they'll literally try to force people to do things that they didn't want to, and they would be legal. They'd have a, you know, the army would be the law. That was the problem. So this was a message he gave me on October 15, 2007, and he's talking here a little bit how the religious people and the patriots will be the ones singled out, because they're the ones that can't be brainwashed by all their techniques and would be fighting against them. So we are going to be the targets, so that you know, and we've already got lists of these same people to pick us up. I could see a darkness of evil as Jesus was scourged at the pillar and later crucified. And Jesus said, "My people, up until now, you have led fairly comfortable lives with only mild persecution for speaking out against abortions, euthanasia, wars, and homosexual acts. The one world people behind the making of a new world order know that they cannot change the minds of devoted religious faithful. That is why they are planning to torture and exterminate you as Hitler did to the Jews and the Romans did to me. This is not an easy message, but people need to know that their lives are in danger once these evil ones start martial law or demand chips in the body. All religious and patriots are on their list for extermination, which is why when you discern this time, you are to call on me to have your guardian angel lead you to the nearest refuge or protection. When you call on my help, your angels will shield you with invisibility to these evil ones, so they couldn't see us or center us or anything. This reason for haste is exactly because your lives will be in danger if you remain in your homes where they can find you. Know that this message is one of love and mercy, so you are prepared for this end time, and it is not meant to scare anyone. Fear is of the evil one. When you have trust in me, you will have peace in your soul with no fear. If someone should be captured and martyred for their faith, I will ease any pain, and you will be an instant saint in heaven." So even with the worst of situations, our Lord will be there to protect us. But this is, again, one of the reasons we'll be going to refuge, because they will be trying to kill us. Now, how are they going to bring about this kind of a martial law, or the premeditated for, emergency, so to speak, that would precipitate martial law. This is one of the examples that he gave me on July 5th, 2007. I could see this has to do with the chemtrails. I'll just mention a little bit before I get into this. There's a couple of different kinds of trails that the planes put out. One is called contrails. That's when the moisture from the burning of the fuel comes out, and because it's so high up in the sky, it's so cold, it almost forms like little ice particles. So it looks like a little bit of a white trail, but then with a, as it moves along, the trail disappears. Then there's another kind of a trail that planes put out, bad planes. They're called chemical trails or chemtrails, and the reason they call them that is because they're not just water vapor. They involve polymeric things, viruses, barium ions, all kinds of different particulate things that when you see them, they spread all out. And I could show you some examples. I don't know if I could show you. I don't have it with me right now. It's not. But you see these trails many times up in the sky when there's not any clouds. You can see them very clear. So I'm going to talk about these chemtrails. That's what I'm referring to here. I could see a yellow powder of a toxic virus that had fallen to the ground from some chemtrails. And these are dispersed not only by military planes, but we found now that they are even dispersed by conventional airlines under this called Cloverleaf Project, which started in 1999. I then saw a rainbow of protection span over a refuge where no virus could fall. So once we reach the refuges, no matter how toxic or anything, any viruses, they put in the air, all of us would be protected by the angels from any getting sick or anything. We would be healed from everything. So that would be a blessing once you're at the refuge. Jesus said, "My people, I've warned you before that there is a coming epidemic of a man-made virus that would be spread all over America by chemtrails from your government. And you should know a lot of these kinds of viruses like AIDS, Ebola, and a few others, many of these viruses and the sicknesses that people get are not just happenstance by nature. These are man-made weapons-grade kind of diseases to try and one of the death culture, that's what we're dealing with. They're the same people that want abortion. They want wars to kill people. The whole idea is by killing people, by lessening the population, in other words, then they can have more control over fewer people. So that's why they're trying to do this. I warned you before that there's a coming epidemic of a man-made virus that would be spread all over America by chemtrails from your government. And it is run by the government, by the way. This will be spread by both military and airline planes, in other words, commercial airlines. This will be one of the main events leading up to martial law being declared. The evil ones would have an antidote vaccine for themselves, but the public would die from this virus. Call on me to protect you and lead you to my refuges. There you could drink the spring water and look on my luminous cross to be healed of this epidemic." So this again will be another blessing from God at the refuges where we'll find this healing. I could see another one on that same day. I could see evil drug companies manufacturing a yellow virus that would be made for the coming epidemic. It's all made by industry and by the military. Jesus said, "My people, the same people who are making your present man-made viruses for the chemtrails will be making a much more virulent form of old diseases to limit the population of America." Some of them are talking about the old Spanish flu or smallpox. "The One World people have to bring America under their control if they are to bring about total takeover of the world. All of those who are against their New World Order will have to be exterminated, even as Hitler wanted to dispose of the Jews. There will be much killing, but my faithful remnant will be protected at my refuges, defying the evil one's plans." Now, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about the refuges. I mentioned I would do this. Now, at the refuges, there would be many, in addition to the, there would be, it'd be a consecrated land. I mentioned the three types of places before. It would be places of Our Lady's apparition sites, places where Our Lady, like Lourdes and Fatima, where they've been given messages, some of the visionaries. Those areas would be refuges, and over them would be these white luminous crosses, where people look upon that would be healed. And also, in addition to being consecrated ground, there would usually be a spring of healing water. And then also, if you drank the healing water, you'd be healed of things as well. So those are at the refuges, and there would be one angel over all of them, and you would see that angel, and they would be protecting you, like a shield put up all around, and that would keep the evil people from seeing you. They couldn't detect you from infrared, or radar, or dog sense, or any number of ways that they could detect infrared, any of those kinds of things. You would be made invisible to all forms of detection. So that's a miracle in itself, that our angels will be protecting us. So I'm going to share with you a couple of messages on this whole idea of coming to the refuges. And now this is another gift our Lord has shared with me. He's allowed my angel, I found his name, a friend of mine gave me the name, Mark, is my angel. And on October, every October 2nd, he usually comes and gives me a message. And so, and he's talking a little bit about preparations and him leading me to the place of refuge. So that was that message. And then there's another one I'll talk about, speaking about the healings at the refuges as well. So the first one, October 2nd. I could see many great buildings for the heads of state. And then Mark, my guardian angel, appeared and said, I am Mark, your guardian angel, and I stand before God. In this vision, you are seeing so many heads of state in all of their power and fame. Jesus told you that none of these people would have any authority on earth unless it was given them from above. This was a quotation even from Pilate, right when Jesus was being condemned, how he was saying why he wouldn't speak to him and everything about all the, you know, accusations being made against him. And our Lord said to him, you would have no power unless it were given from above. So it's the same thing. But instead of acknowledging God's gift to them of their office, they are arrogant in their use of power. This is probably one of the biggest problems in corruption in government. Your mission has been to prepare people to be ready to go to the refuges of protection when you see martial law is declared, and when the evil ones will try to force mandatory chips in the body on everyone. And if they don't take them and they found them at their home, they would put you in detention centers. Jesus has told you that at the time of tribulation, people are to call on him, and he will have us guardian angels lead the people to the nearest place of refuge. This feast of the guardian angels is to remind you of our part in protecting you on your way to a refuge of protection. We truly are your guardians, and it is important for us to warn you when to leave, so that you are not captured when the evil ones try to put chips into your bodies. And he made several mentions of when that time would be. I've been giving you all these signs of when it would be, but the actual declaring of martial law. Actually, they'll try and capture all the leaders or people in authority that are against them before they declare martial law. And then after martial law, that they're called the red list. And the people after martial law is declared will be killed. Those are the ones that are on a blue list. So that's what he meant by being warned ahead of time. And that would be ahead of the time when they try to take the people up before martial law. That's what he's referring to. Trust in all of your guardian angels, for they will be helping you through the coming tribulation. And that's that 3.5 years of the Antichrist reign. Trust in Jesus' power, because he will overpower all of the evil ones. Have no fear, but trust in God's power and graces. And this is another message now speaking more of the healings. This was on October 18th. I could see a small, calm pool of water with a falls in the background. This was the healing water at a refuge. Jesus said, my people, many faithful, will be led by their guardian angels to the nearest refuge during the tribulation. Once they arrive there, they will see miraculous springs of water for drinking and bathing. The real miracles will occur when people will drink or wash with this water, and they would be healed of all their medical problems. Those who look on the luminous cross in the sky over the refuges would also be healed of any sicknesses. These refuges will be places of protection from the evil ones who will be trying to kill you. You will see an angel at each refuge, given authority to protect all who come there. Food, water, and shelters will also be multiplied in miracles to provide for all of your necessities. So it's really nothing to fear, because he's going to, even in miraculous ways, provide for us. Give praise and glory to your Lord, who will see to your needs and protection during the coming tribulation. And some of these things are a little difficult to understand, but I'll just draw a couple of quick attentions to how he multiplied food. Back in the Old Testament, when Elijah came to this old lady and her son, there was a famine, and he said, and she said to him, once he makes, she makes some cakes for him, that they would die because they, that's the last of their food. So Elijah blessed the oil and the flour, and it multiplied itself for a year, and they were able to survive through the famine. When Jesus came and it was on the earth, you remember how he took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplied it, and he fed the 5,000, and another time he fed the 4,000, and they collected 12 and 7 baskets of fragrance after that. So he knows how to multiply food, and he hasn't stopped doing that. We remember this one Father, Richard Thomas, went, he's since died, but we remember the stories that he had when he was out in Veda, in New Mexico, Nevada. Anyway, and he would multiply, he would take a ham and feed the Mexican people across the border, and the ham, he'd cut it up and feed 500 people, and it wouldn't go any less than 2/3. It would always stay the same. So he would multiply it. Even in the time when the Pope came to Denver, we also saw some multiplication of food there. So our Lord is continuing to multiply food, so not to have any fear. And what I think, one of the things our Lord was mentioning, enough, not so much in this message, but another one, when the people first come to the refuge, they'll be very apprehensive because they won't understand all this about miracles. But as soon as they start seeing the miracles being performed, they're going to, you know, they'll be believing in it, and it will ease any of their tensions, any of their fears. So our Lord is going to be there for us. We just have to have more confidence in His multiplication of things and providing. I'm going to talk now a little bit about the tribulation time. So we talked earlier, I'll just put that back into perspective again. So we talked about the famine, the division in the church, the mandatory chips, and martial law. So now we've gone, we've asked our Lord, and we've gone now to the refuges. So now the beginning of the tribulation starts once the Antichrist comes to power and declares himself. That's the beginning of this tribulation. And so this is spoken of in about the end times, in other words. This is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. This is a scripture passage speaking about when our Lord would come again, and right after this tribulation time. And as it was in the days of Noah, even so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away, even so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So when he says in the days of Noah, what he means there is how evil it was in his days. Because, and in Genesis it talks about how evil they were. Chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and was filled with violence. God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all men live corruptly on the earth. So that's a little bit what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a lot of corruption, we're seeing a lot of evil, homosexuality, marriages, we're seeing all kinds of living together and the bad movies and everything else. And we're seeing all these signs of the evil all around us, just like it was in the days of Noah, how evil they were. And they had that unforgiving heart. In other words, the sin against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin, is not asking any forgiveness for our sins. That's really what that was. That's why these people were killed in the flood. They were not asking the Lord for forgiveness. Another scripture passage speaks about the exact time of this tribulation, or the coming of it, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 through 22. For then there will be great tribulation. Now there's kinds of tribulation, if you will. Now, and Daniel talks about a 7-year tribulation time, and in Revelation it talks about a 3.5 years time of tribulation. I believe, at least my understanding is, that this great tribulation is referring to the 3.5 years of the Antichrist reign, which will be shortened for the sake of the elect, like I'm going to read here. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days have been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And I mentioned before how he would speed up the time, so the elect would have less time that they would have to suffer. I'm going to share with you a message it speaks about the time of the Antichrist and how he will come to power. I could see two black chairs with, this was February 2nd, 2002. I could see two black chairs with red veils draped over them. And then Jesus said, my people, these two black chairs with the red veils represent the places of power for the two beasts of the book of Revelation. One of the beasts is the Antichrist, and I've warned you to not look at him or take anything from him. Remember I told you we were to get rid of our televisions and our computer monitors so we didn't look at him. He will have demonic powers, and by yourselves you'll be no match for him. When he declares himself to be in power, many will worship him and take his mark, which will be a computer chip in the hand. Those who get into him will be under his power and could be lost. Some will sell their souls to keep their wealth and comforts, because this will be a real challenge to get rid of everything. People won't want to do that. My people will be told in their warning experience to avoid this man and not to take his mark. The Antichrist will presume to be a man of peace and who will save the world from war and financial collapse. That's what he'll be saying. Soon he'll become a tyrant ruler, once he gets in power, in other words, demanding that everyone has to worship him. Call on me, and I will have your guardian angels lead you to my refuges of holy ground and my blessed mother's places of apparition. You will not endure this trial long, and I will come in the clouds to defeat the Antichrist. I will then cleanse the earth of all evil, and there will be joy all over. And some might wonder, in the physical way, how this takeover would come about. And there was another message, a little bit, for the United States and America. And this was likening it to the time of Babylon, when Babylon fell. It's the same parallel. This was November 28, 2007. I could see a frame of an entrance to a cave where it was pitch black as into oblivion. Jesus said, my people, there is a strong parallel between Babylon and America in the reading from Daniel. The people of Babylon worshiped pagan gods made of gold, silver, bronze, and stone, and they drank wine from the holy vessels of the temple. In other words, when the Israelites were exiled, they were the ones, they went into the holy temples there and they took all the gold vessels and they brought it as part of their spoils of their victory over to their own home. So these people later on defiled these sacred vessels by drinking them in their parties. And that's what he's saying here. Because of this flaunting of idol worship and irreverence for God's holy vessels, the writing on the wall occurred, Mene, Tekel, and Perez. And that's in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1 through 29. Now here's the similarity to America. America also has idols that you worship in new houses, cars, electronic devices, money, and fame or status. You are also flaunting irreverence to me by taking God, prayer, and my Ten Commandments from all of your public buildings, not to mention your abortions and sexual sins. America, like Babylon, has been found wanting in my judgment when your scales of evil have outweighed the good that you have done. America's days are numbered as well, when the central bankers will bring about a takeover of your country, and it will truly be sent into oblivion as with this vision. America will also be divided and given up to the Masons and the One World people, who will deny your sovereignty rights as you are made a part of the North American Union. Your people have allowed the central bankers to bankrupt your country with useless war debts and strip your military of its numbers and strength. This, together with your immorality, is what will bring your nation to a total takeover. When you see mandatory chips in the body and martial law declared because of a created emergency, you will see the end of your country as a democratic republic. This will also be the time for my faithful to call on me and your angels to lead you to the nearest refuge for both physical and spiritual protection from the evil ones and the Antichrist. Have faith and hope in my power with no fear of these evil ones. In the end, I will vanquish them and cast this evil lot into hell. My faithful will then be rewarded in my era of peace. So it really is a beautiful time at the very end of this. Now, so we're having this tribulation time, with the Antichrist, as he's being allowed to come into power. And he's going to reach full power over all the nations of the world. And he's going to be put in, what our Lord told me, he'll be coming out of Egypt, and then he'll be put in power in the European Union, in Europe. And he'll be running all the world from there. Controlling all the media and everything, he would be controlling it. So once he gets to that full control of the world at that point, then our Lord will bring what is called a great chastisement. And this chastisement will take the form of a comet that will come and strike in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And this will create what is talked about as the 3 days of darkness. And in the 3 days of darkness, once this comet hits and the dust and everything goes all over the world with volcanoes and everything else going on, you wouldn't be able to see your hand in front of you. But if you were to have a blessed candle, that would be the only source of light that you would have. So our Lord is speaking about this now in a message on September 14, 2007. I could see the sun setting, and there was a great darkness representing a time of great evil. Jesus said, "My people, you remember when I died on the cross, how there was a great earthquake, and darkness came over the land from an eclipse of the sun at 3 p.m. in the afternoon." So now this vision of another time of darkness is foretelling the time of the coming evil of the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation of the Antichrist, I will bring my comet of chastisement that will strike the earth and the Atlantic Ocean. Then you will witness the 3 days of darkness when only blessed candles will give your only light. The darkness will cover how the evil ones will have to suffer a living hell on earth without being consumed. So now, one of the visions he showed me two of them, one where they would be walking, the evil ones, in other words, would be walking through flames, literally a hell on earth, walking through flames, feeling the pain of the flames, but not being consumed. And another one said for 5 months, and these are plagues that are talked about in Revelation, and he showed me another one where scorpions were the size of horses, and they were stinging these people for 5 months, yet they wouldn't die from it. So, I mean, it just had to be one terrible plague. They had to suffer. So anybody that goes with the Antichrist may have a few days of comfort and wealth, but then the future is not very nice. I mean, you're going to be suffering a lot. Not to mention, after that, then they'll be in the real hell for all eternity. So it's a real, not the right choice, that's for sure. Close your windows and do not look out to view my wrath on these condemned souls. So not to witness the justice of God. This was very similar when Lot told his wife not to look back at the Sodom and Gomorrah being, with all the flame and the fire and everything, the brimstone and everything falling on that town. And she looked back, and of course she turned into a pillar of salt, as you know, from Scripture. So he's telling us not to look at the justice of God out the window. In other words, put something over the window to hide it. I will cleanse the earth of all the evil ones, and they will eventually be cast into hell in chains. I will then renew the earth and bring about my era of peace, which will be a reward for all of my faithful. So this is how our Lord is going. Once this comet comes, all the chips will stop working, and all the evil ones will be then chained in hell, and then he's going to renew the face of the earth and then make ready for the time of the era of peace. And this is a scripture passage that speaks a little bit, describes the same, similar thing anyway, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. So this is when our Lord would bring about this era of peace. I just can't go into all the descriptions of it, but just there's different places in the Bible that speak of this era of peace, talk about what it would be like. I'm going to go to a segment I'm calling about some visions of heaven, hell, and purgatory, and about perfection. And I'll give you a little bit of some information on queenship in my internet site. And then I'll get into some messages of the more recent messages, and that's the order that I'm coming as much as I got time for. So we're going to talk a little bit now about a vision of heaven, some of the visions I had. This was on March 29, 2001. I'll just say one thing about a vision of heaven. The very first time I had a vision of heaven, I had the tears in my eyes. I mean, it was just so overwhelming. for about a half hour, just the tear just rolled off me. And it was, after I had that experience, there was just no other place you'd ever want to be. If you've had that experience once, you just no other choice. I mean, that's as much as perfect as we're going to know it. That's why it's so beautiful. So I'm going to share that with you. This was in March 29, 2001. I could see a vision of heaven with many souls of saints standing in long robes with a great white light all around them. Jesus said, "My people, it is good for you to witness to the glory of my saints in heaven. Every one of my souls on earth need to strive to gain heaven, for this is what your whole earthly life is all about. When you are in heaven, you'll be at total peace and rest in my love. You will be in a different dimension without the restrictions of space and time." Remember I talked about once you leave your body, you don't have any attachment at all to things in the world. So, I mean, that's what you would be in. Just complete with nothing holding you back. You'll be in the eternal now. And I'll just express this as best I can. What he means by the eternal now is literally a dimension or a state of being outside of time. People don't age. I mean, you're spirits, so there wouldn't be any aging or anything like that. It would be just eternal now means no time. That's what he means by that term. You'll be in the eternal now, and you'll experience me in my beatific vision. Now that is very hard to explain. Beatific vision means that normally, if you see God in our human state, you would probably die from that. Just that shock and not seeing it. But when we're in heaven, the beatific vision means you're taken completely in. And the way I can just describe it for me, it was like you were wrapped around, like you were in the middle of God. And you had complete peace and love all around you. And you just didn't want to leave that situation. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to come back to that. It was too nice. But that's what he's trying to describe here for us. It's very hard to explain in earthly terms to appreciate that beatific vision. You will have full knowledge of everything, and your soul will be completely satisfied in your yearning to be with me and a part of me. And so our spirit will be one with God. I mean, that's how we will be in heaven. You'll be praising me. Oh, yeah, and there will be beautiful music as well. And the way that music, it's interesting. I don't think it's in this message, but in another message he gave me, he talked about the music of heaven, and it was very hard to describe because in our earthly way, sound, as you know, travels in waves, but it uses particles like the atmosphere. That's how sound transmits through the particles. But when you're up in heaven, I mean, there's no atmosphere. There's nothing to carry a sound. So what happens is, our Lord said that there's little packets of light, and they hold the song. And these little packets of light are sent out with the angels, you know, as they're singing. So as they sing, it's like a thought message going out, only it's in little packets of light. That's the best I can explain it. And so that's why everyone can hear the same song at the same time, at the same intensity. I mean, it was just an interesting message about music. So, while we're in heaven now, you'll be praising me and giving me thanks that you are judged worthy of the Lamb. The experience here in heaven will be as in a constant ecstasy of complete love and joy. All heaven will greet you and welcome you to your chosen level of heaven. And he showed me seven different levels. Do not pass off your desire for heaven as something unattainable or not worth the struggle. If you had even a small glimpse of heaven, there would be no other experience that you could desire more. That is why your ignorance of sin and your lack of motivation to gain heaven are very serious detriments for souls to come here. Mortal sin is death to the soul, and it is like a lifeless corpse in earthly terms. All of my faithful need to struggle with their own crosses, and they need to reach out to those souls caught up in the world and their sin. Life is a test and a struggle to gain heaven, but it is the only eternal destination that makes sense in any way that you want to describe life after death. And the only place I could feel that was beautiful and the only place you'd want to be. The other alternative to heaven is a horrific eternity in the suffering flames of hell, where there is only hate and suffering. In other words, Jesus is all loving and wants us to be with him in love, but Satan is just the opposite. He hates man, and you'll be tormented by him and his demons when you're in hell, if you should be there. To come to heaven, you have to give everything over to my will and follow my commandments. Seek my forgiveness after each time you need your sins cleansed from your soul. Only through contrition and my forgiveness can your soul be brought back to life in my grace. This whole Lent should be focused on me and how you can serve me and your neighbor better in love. Once you can live a life of total consecration, then you'll be moving closer to that perfection that is required of every soul seeking heaven. In other words, I mentioned before that we need to be saints. In other words, in order to get into heaven, we have to be saints, and only the Lord can bring us to that perfection that's required to be a saint. So we have to rely on that. Now, this is a vision about purgatory. It was given December 1st in 2000. I could see a very weary soul with very tired eyes that was suffering in purgatory. And Jesus said, my people, I'm showing you this weary soul in purgatory so you can be aware of how souls suffer for their sins on earth. Most of you on earth that die before the tribulation and do not go to hell will have to suffer in this place of torment to purify your soul for heaven. These souls are crying out for your help every day that you may pray for them and help atone for their sins. They cannot pray for themselves, but they can pray for you in return. In other words, they're up in heaven, they pray for you. Every soul that you can release from purgatory will be eternally grateful to you. They won't forget you. These souls suffer from the purifying flames and from the pain of not seeing me or feeling my loving presence. Now, what he showed me was in the upper parts of purgatory would be not so much about the flames of burning sensation in the spirit, in other words, but their biggest pain would be so close to being to God, but they couldn't see Him. I mean, that was their biggest pain. The ones in the lower purgatory would be suffering not only the pains of not seeing God, but also the pains like a burning sensation as if you were in hell. This joy in your heart when you are adoring my real presence, in other words, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament or receiving in Holy Communion, is not available to these poor souls. My Blessed Mother and I are constantly asking your prayers a petition for these souls, whom many have forgotten in life. This vision is to give you a feeling for the pain that the souls in purgatory are going through. Many of these souls are weary and forsaken because their own relatives refuse to pray for them or they forgot about them. So continue to pray for your own friends and relatives who may still be suffering in purgatory. Pray also for the forsaken souls whom no one is praying for. This is not asking much effort from you while you are doing your daily prayers. But remember these souls in your prayer intentions. When you pray, it is important that you remember to voice your prayer intentions so the merits of your prayers can be multiplied to these poor souls in purgatory. And he also talked about we can even multiply our prayer to help the souls that are in the world that haven't been judged yet, and for peace. We can do that too. I thank you for remembering these souls, and these souls that you pray for will be ever in your debt. So we pray for the souls and not to forget them. And even if we pray for a soul that's already been brought to heaven, those prayers will always be used. They'll be just, a lot of times they'll go to other members of the family that may be in purgatory, or to other souls that you're praying for. So it's sort of like pain and prayer are not wasted if they're put in the right context. I'm going to share now a vision about hell. And in the eternity of hell is really the more interesting understanding because people don't have a real idea of how long eternity is. But once you go to hell, there's no turning back. You're there forever. I mean, that concept is just so hard for man to understand. So this was July 21st, 1997, the message. I could see a large flaming abyss that seemed to have no bottom. Many souls were falling into hell. And if you read in Scripture, it talks about the deep abyss. That's what hell is, where it is. Jesus said, my dear children, my mother and I are both sorrowing for how many souls are being lost in hell. My children, you must realize how serious it is to lose your soul to the evil one. Eternity in hell is an eternal banishment from my sight and a severe and painful suffering forever. All of this is because those souls refuse to accept me as Lord of their lives. Your selfishness and a desire of earthly things can bring you to this place of torment. My children, you must struggle to stop your abortions and your sins of the flesh. If you do not convert your lives, you will meet with this fate of eternal punishment in hell. Reach out to those lost souls and plead with them, if you could only bring them to me. Let them come to eternal love with me and not eternal hate from Satan. How many times must I seek you to bring you to your senses? Your sins bring you a false pleasure for a short time, but you are trading a brief satisfaction for an eternity of grief. In other words, this life here is very brief. That's what he's saying. Think of how long eternity is. You think in terms of a number of years, but how can you imagine a number one with an infinite number of zeros after it? If you had time to live all the lives of everyone that existed, it would not even scratch the surface of eternity. So come to me now, my children, and seek my forgiveness of your sins. See, eternal beauty and love with me far surpasses any thought of being with the hideous faces of the demons and their hate for you. Choose life, and you'll be forever with the light. Choose death, and you'll curse the darkness forever. So it's a very hard message, but it's really emphasizing how long it would be to be in hell. It's just, we don't have that concept. But it's a long, long time. You can't even measure it. I'm going to give you one message, kind of wraps up this part of the talk, and it speaks about perfection. I mentioned here earlier that we have to strive to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect and in order to be a saint, and that's how we get into heaven. So this is a message on perfection. It was on July 5th, 1996. We were visiting in Achill Island in Ireland at the House of Prayer. I could see a large door to heaven, and it had a number one on it. And Jesus said, "My dear child, I am happy to see that you are coming to me to seek perfection. Many souls go through their prayers in life in a habitual way without seeking to better themselves. This is because in order to perfect yourselves, it will mean giving up your will to me. For some, this is too much to suffer in order to cleanse their lives." In other words, to give our will so that we no longer control ourselves, but we let God run everything that we do. There are several. First, consider your frequent sins as to how you may better your life. Whether it be to control your anger or your bodily desires, think of keeping my peace at every moment. Ask for my grace, and I'll offer you a way to curb your sin and your temptations. Make a conscious effort to avoid temptations by keeping away from occasions of sin for you. I must emphasize again that you use your time wisely in my behalf, always seeking to please me and do my will. In other words, not to waste so much time. Do not rush through your prayers to do your own things, but constantly ask yourself if what you are doing is more for you or for me. When you come before my Blessed Sacrament, and whenever you come to me in prayer, make a point to be quiet and listen to what I wish to communicate to your soul. So what he's speaking here of this quiet time, he's speaking about contemplative prayer, where we just are quiet in front of the Lord. You will see my informal conversation in prayer will become even more inspiring than your formal prayer. However you pray, I'm always anxious for every moment you take time to unite yourself with my loving heart. Prayer is the gift of the heart and soul which you alone can offer me. Keep close to me in all you do, my son, and let me run your life according to my will. I'm just going to give you a few little notes here of where my books are published. Our Lord talks about it as, my books and his messages or something like that. In Queenship Publishing is the one who publishes the books. And we just submitted volume 49. And except for the first three books that were a year, the subsequent ones are all 3 months of the messages. And so if you want to purchase them, you can call them at 1-800-647-9882 to order books. And those books all include the visions and the messages on the internet at my website, www.johnleary.com. They'll have the visions with them. So, and then book 48 we just published contains a refuge appendix, which I'm going to read a little more about a little later. Matter of fact, before I forget that, sometimes I forget. I want to read, I talked about the refuges early, but I didn't mention exactly what to take on the way to the refuge while I'm remembering this thought. In book 48, like this one here, my wife did a nice compendium of all the messages on the refuges. And I'm just going to read a little bit about what it says about to take to our refuges. So it says, what are we to take? Mostly what we can carry in a backpack are sacramentals of holy water, rosaries, scapulars, the Bible, blessed salt, blessed candles, and a Benedictine cross. These will be our weapons, as Jesus doesn't want us to kill others with guns. Yes, we can take our pets, as they are also God's creatures. This is primarily a spiritual battle of principalities and powers, as it will manifest itself on the earth. Of the practical items, Jesus recommends a little food and water, in other words, we bring that along in a backpack, and that will be multiplied to help us on the way. A few changes of clothes, especially warm ones if you're in the north, a sleeping bag or blanket, a small portable shovel if you have to dig out a cave or something, a deer knife, because the deer will be brought to us, we'll then have to cut them up, an umbrella, a small tent, and mosquito net if you wish. I don't like the bugs, so I guess a nice mosquito net. He also was suggesting a detailed map that includes back roads, as we'll be using the main highways because we'll be monitored with checkpoints. The maps will be needed most for those who already know where they're going and those whose faith may be weaker in trust. So those will be ways of helping us and what to do when we go on refuge. So those are the basics. Now I'm going to share a little some of the messages that I've been having of recent, as long as time permits. I'm going to start first with the January 3rd message. This was speaking of the new year. I could see a contrast and a safe home of today, and then a rustic rural refuge of tomorrow. And Jesus said, my people, you are warm and comfortable in your heating homes of today, but you need to be prepared to pack your sacramentals in your backpacks for when you will have to go to my refuges for your protection. Leaving all of your possessions behind may seem like a difficult thing to do under today's situation with no physical threats. But when your life and soul are in jeopardy from the evil ones, you will gladly leave to be in my safe havens. One of the things I tell people is you come into this life and you don't have any money or possessions, and you go out and you don't have any when you leave. But so it doesn't matter which point you lose it. So if you leave it behind and you go to refuge, it's okay. I mean, you're going to lose it eventually anyway. So here he's talking now, he showed me a calendar of this coming year. I could see the Lord presenting me with a calendar of the coming year 2008. And Jesus said, my people, you are always anxious to ask for more messages about the coming year. That's man's curiosity, I guess. But I will only give you the sign of Jonah, which is the message of repentance or face my justice. That's the same sign he gave to the people of his own day. This will be like a year which is like no other. Now that statement was pretty strong. The events of this year will be dramatic, and you need to be more spiritually prepared than you are today. I will give you more details of the coming events as time draws near to them. I can only repeat my request for your prayers, which are needed now more than ever before. Evil is being granted its brief reign, so you'll see this evil growing worse before I will come in victory. I will not leave you orphans, but you must be strong in your faith at this time. So he's really warning us there. Already we've seen some pretty strong windstorms just in our own local area here. Over 24,000 without power, and other areas of the country also have been experiencing strong wind, even tornadoes and hurricane force. So we've seen some of these already. Our Lord talked on January 10th of this year, 2008, speaking about the prophets of the end time. And it's interesting here, I love this quotation because it's really a strong one about Jesus when he was just starting out in his mission. I could see Jesus reading the scroll of scripture in a synagogue at Nazareth. Jesus said, my people, today's gospel reading includes a quotation from Isaiah that described my mission to the people of my time. This is in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim to the captives release and sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of recompense. After I sat down, I proclaimed, in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Because I came from Nazareth, they could not believe that I could be the Messiah and say these things. So they tried, in other words, they were accusing him of blasphemy. So they tried to throw me over the hill, but I walked through them since it was not my time. A prophet is not accepted in his own town. Even today, you are seeing the end time signs all around you, as indeed the prophecies of these times are being fulfilled in your hearing as well. Listen to my true prophets of this time, for my spirit is guiding them as well to prepare your souls for the evil time of the tribulation. I call on my end time prophets to be true to your missions, as I give you the grace to proclaim my word that now is the acceptable time to repent and be saved. And there was one, even now we're seeing these power outages, as I mentioned before, with the wind. He talked about this coming again back in November 2nd, 2007. I could see people using generators for power in the winter when there was a power failure over a large area. Jesus said, my people, remember the message that I gave you, how the one world people will use power outages to enhance their means of takeover in America. So not only would they be premeditating an emergency or an event that would precipitate an emergency for martial law, but at the same time they would implement a law, they would shut off the power, so it would throw us, paralyze us even more, so that they could provide that takeover. They already are planning a massive event involving many deaths to make way for an excuse to have martial law. Shutting down the power grid lines is their way to paralyze the people to allow their takeover. They could use planned terrorism to take out a nuclear power plant, as witnessed in Arizona, where radiation and a power outage would raise havoc on many people. They could use the HARP machine to cause ice storms and put out many power lines. HARP machine is a microwave producer that can move the jet streams around and cause different weather problems. All of these methods fit in with their plan for an American takeover that will be coming soon. Again, when you see martial law declared or mandatory chips in the body, prepare quickly to leave for my refuges by calling on me and your guardian angel to lead you to the nearest refuge. By seeking my protection, the evil ones will not be able to capture you or kill you. Trust in my power and help to provide for all of your needs, even in the middle of winter. I'm going to share with you now, because our Lord talks about abortion as being one of the most difficult sins that our country is going to be paying for. The one was on December 12th, and the other was on, that's Our Lady of Guadalupe, and December 28th, which is the Holy Innocents. So the first one, on December 12th. And he's speaking here of abortion as, in other words, those that don't do anything to fight abortion. Our Lady is speaking of this. Our Lady gave the message. She's saying that if we don't do anything to fight abortion, that we are actually committing a sin of omission. So I could see darkness at first representing man's unbelief. Then I saw Tepeyac Hill, where Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego. Mary said, my dear children, I'm happy to see all of my children of Batania, we were on the trip down there, and my pilgrims rejoicing at Mass on my feast day of Guadalupe. Your singing and your prayers are very effective in sharing your love with all of heaven. All the saints in heaven and Maria Esperanza are encouraging you in all of your efforts to save souls. This darkness in the sky and the vision represents the sins of mankind and your weak faith in the word of my son Jesus. The worst of these sins are your abortions of the unborn. Because in Guadalupe she was like a pregnant Indian woman. I am the patron of the unborn, as I appeared to Juan Diego as a mother pregnant with my son and your Savior. This miracle of the roses and my Guadalupe image on the tilma is a message of hope for my children to stop your abortions and hold life up as a precious gift too valuable to kill. Many of your life's problems are brought on yourselves by supporting the death culture of abortions, euthanasia, wars, and senseless killings. Continue to stand up to your society and fight to save the lives of the unborn. Continue to send letters against this death culture to your government representatives. Protest abortions at the clinics. Counsel the women contemplating abortion. And pray for these mothers and doctors to stop taking away this innocent life. If you refuse to fight abortion in some way, then you are committing one of the greatest sins of omission, that there is. I love all of my children, and especially the innocent unborn little ones. My son also loves the children, so do not kill his little ones. And with that same theme of abortion, only on a little different, this is a little different explanation on abortion, same subject, but a little different aspect. He's speaking more here about birth control and how it relates to precipitating abortions. I could see, this was December 28th, I could see a couple having an affair outside of marriage. Jesus said, my people, today's feast is in memory of all the infants up to 2 years old that were killed by Herod's decree in Bethlehem. That's the holy innocents. This was Herod's attempt to kill me after the Magi refused to tell him where I was born. Today, there are other innocents being killed in the womb by abortion. In some instances, abortions have become the last resort birth control, where having children is either an embarrassment or an inconvenience to take care of another child. There are many sins of fornication and adultery going on in America outside of the marriage bed. Living together without marriage is a sinful lifestyle, and this flaunts their sin in my face because it is a deliberate sin against my sixth commandment. This sexual sin is compounded when any conceived children are aborted. Even among married couples, there are sins of using birth control devices, which are the precursor for abortions to control family size. The Marriage Act needs to be always open to birth, and the Church only allows natural family planning methods without birth control devices. Some married couples also have abortions, thinking they cannot afford another child. All abortions kill innocent life, and they are the same as murder in my eyes. They will require a heavy payment to make reparation for the worst of sins. I still will forgive such a sin, but do not put yourself in these situations that could tempt you to have abortions. Better to have the children and give them up for adoption than have an abortion. Having children should be the product of a loving environment without any intent to kill them out of inconvenience. Life is too precious to kill, so follow my laws to avoid birth control, prostitution, fornication, or adultery that could lead to abortions. When you live a life of love according to my laws of love, then there can be true peace among everyone, especially in this Christmas season. I'm going to try and get one more message in here. One of these, this is speaking here on December 3rd about the bad movies. I could see some people watching movies. Jesus said, my people, your movies from Hollywood are corrupting souls all over the world, and this is why these actors and actresses are being tormented with the fires in California, and also they were had earthquakes there as well. Especially in our movies, the actors flaunt violent sexual scenes and vulgar language, which are a bad influence for adults and for children. I've warned you to avoid our movies, and even some PG films are bad for children. Your TV programming is also filled with the same bad influences. So guard your eyes and ears from such occasions of sin, and especially protect your children from viewing such filth. In addition to our movies, it is also important to avoid the Harry Potter movies, the Golden Compass series, and any other movies supporting witchcraft and demons for entertainment. They're not so innocent like they like to tell you, but they all lead to witchcraft and atheism. TV and movies are powerful ways to influence the mind and soul, but man has abused these media for evil purposes that require your careful discernment. So I want to thank you, and God bless you, and for all those that are watching this. Thank you.